Time for a catch-up with Dan Carter. Last time we talked, he was kicking a ball for 24 hours for charity, but since his retirement from international rugby, that was in 2015, all rugby a year ago, he's keeping himself busy. He's gotten to the NFT game. He's co-founded Glorious Digital with the likes of Murray Tom and Craig Heatley. They've just done a deal with Wimbledon, in fact, where you can own the memorable moments from the tournament as an NFT. Dan Carter's with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Now, before we talk about NFTs and all the other stuff we'll end up talking about, the Black Ferns, I saw you on the telly the other night. You were coaching with the Black Ferns. How did they go? What do you reckon?
I'm really enjoying their new style of play. A huge influence from Wayne Smith and Sir Graham Henry. I can just see the influence already. I think Smithy quite enjoys coaching the women's rugby team because he told me that they actually listen and they don't argue with him back like we used to and debate all his decisions. But a huge year for our Black Fern girls with the World Cup later in the year and to spend a little bit of time with their kickers the other day was something I really enjoyed.
And how do you handle that when you deal with people for the first time? Because presumably at least some of them are in awe of who you are and you want them relaxed and to soak up the vibe, don't you? How do you get around all that?
Yeah, I think it's important that you just don't get straight into the training or what you're trying to achieve. And actually, you spend a bit of time just, you know, meeting them, getting to know them, sharing a few stories. So we did that. I challenged them a little bit around why they kick, you know, whether they want to be the best kicker in the world, where they want to be in those moments to help the team win a World Cup or a game. Just get a little bit of an understanding more about who they are and what drives them. And then when it comes to the coaching element, you know, you can remember the certain traits and personality of the individual, and that tends to go a long way.
Now, we've talked to Wayne Smith a couple of times since he's had his job. He seems to be immeasurably enjoying it and making the contribution. But what are you reading about women's sport in general? Does it need to be at the elite level anyway? Does it need to be coached by a woman? Can it be coached by a Wayne Smith? I mean, what's the role of a coach, do you reckon?
Oh, it's a funny one because back when I was younger, I couldn't believe that the coach got such a hard time when the team lost and everything got thrown at the coach and they got sacked or whatever it was. I was like, well, it's actually the players that are out there playing. But being coached by some of the best coaches in the world, I soon realised the impact that the coach has. They set the foundations, they set the culture, they set you know, where they want the team to go, and then it's up to the players to deliver on that. So the coach has a huge role. So in terms of women's sport, I think if we can get the best coaches coaching the teams, then that can only be beneficial. Whether that's obviously it'd be great if it's a woman, but when you got the likes of a Wayne Smith and Sir Graham Henry, you know, coaching the side, they're just gonna, I know from a fact, they're gonna learn so much and the game is going to evolve and grow. So yeah, you're really excited for the women's team.
And is that inherent, that magic in a coach? I mean, I look at Scott Robertson, you look at what he's done for, you know, your old team. Is there a magic there that he was born with, or can you teach that to a coach?
I think you can teach it. You know, like even when Razor was playing, I wouldn't have expected him to have the success that he had, but his mind does work a little bit differently, and he gets the best out of the players, which is the key. Just because you have a huge understanding about rugby doesn't mean you're going to be a good coach. A lot of it is managing the person, getting the best out of the players, setting the vision, driving standards. There's so much more than just knowing a lot about rugby to be a good coach. And yeah, he's obviously one of them, Wayne Smith. You know, we're just so lucky to have so many amazing coaches here in New Zealand.
So talk to me about these NFTs, because first of all, why did you get involved?
Oh, it's a friend of mine, Scott McLiver, who helps me out with certain opportunities when it comes to technology opportunities. And he started just talking to me about it. And like most of us, I'm not too sure where you are, but I hear your understanding around NFTs and blockchain is growing by the day, which is exciting. But like most of the people, it just went over my head. It was all too much. And I started researching it, and I spent a good 6 months just watching YouTube clips, getting a better understanding. And the coin really dropped for me when I understood about the potential opportunities for sports people and sporting entities, how they another platform to be able to bring their fans closer to the individual or the sporting entity, and through rugby that's something that I always loved was that connection. That's why I enjoy being on social media, because it's an avenue to be able to give back to the fans and supporters and the people that really make the sport what it is.
Right, so let me work you through this. Here's where I'm at, right? So very basic level, you take an artist, he paints a painting, sells that painting, whoever buys it collects it, maybe holds it for 20 years and later sells it for 3 times the money. The artist never collects that money. So you see, in my mind, that makes sense to me. An NFT makes sense. So you'll get a cut of your work for the rest of your life. So that's the good thing. But then we go down in the NFT area where you end up, with a picture of an ape on a yacht with a yellow hat, and somebody in Iran pays $17 million for that. And that makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and clearly Murray Tom has had some fantastic influence on your understanding of digital art, which is the area that Glorious, the company I co-founded, really do focus on. So there is a lot of different types of NFTs, and I don't have enough time to go into all the different types here. But at Glorious, we really specialize on creating digital masterpieces that like you talked about, and something that we absolutely love is the fact that our artists get royalties in perpetuity. So that's exciting. But the likes of the apes, for example, they're about building communities, and the rights and privilege and utilities that you get of that sense of ownership. The market is flooded, new innovative technology, it's going to always have its ups and downs as people get excited about the future potential. Crypto and blockchain is no different to that. But what we do at Glorious from day one, we set out to really create works of underlying substance, masterpieces. The value isn't, it's not just hype, but enduring artistic and legacy value. And I think a lot of the entities, legacy entities in particular that we're talking to, they really understand and get that. And I think that's a big part of the reason why Wimbledon decided to partner with Glorious.
How did that work? I mean, why would they? I mean, what's in it for them?
Well, basically, they loved our vision of, creating authentic digital masterpieces that bring collectors and creators closer together. So we really want to elevate and sit in the premium end of the NFT market. We don't focus on big mass market drops. We're not after a quick cash grab opportunity. So they loved the values of Glorious. It is such a new space that it's not like there's been players in this space that have been around for 10, 20 years. It's all really new. So they loved our creative. So Wimbledon are celebrating 100 years of Centre Court at its current location. So our creative was to release 1,000 digital collectibles. The creative looks at the highlights of each decade over the last 100 years. So we're going to produce 10 different NFTs or digital collectibles, edition sizes of 100. And they just loved it. They loved the fact that we're not going sort of mass market. We're going to create beautiful Wimbledon masterpieces. So, we've since been up there. We've pitched to them. They've got approval from the board. It's a really exciting project. You can go into the ballot to purchase one of these Wimbledon masterpieces. It's the Centenary Collection. You can do that at wimbledon.glorious.digital if you go into the ballot.
How is it? You can't have planned this. Think about this. When you were playing, you would have thought, righto, what am I going to do post-career? Oh, I know, I'll go into NFTs. You can't possibly have thought that. So how do these opportunities evolve? How do you balance them up with putting your name against something or a company and all of that? I mean, how do you work that process through?
Well, you need to believe in it for a start. But when I did finish playing, it was quite a challenging time because I knew what I wanted to do every morning I got out of bed, and that was to be the best rugby player I possibly could. So that was driving me for the last 20 years. All of a sudden, you hang up the boots and you're trying to work out, well, what is it? What is sort of my purpose? And, what is going to be that thing that gets me out of bed? And I wanted to just take a year off and figure that out. And I spent 6 months, working with Kevin Roberts, who would challenge me on sort of repurposing and what it is. And through that time, I got some framework. I don't exactly understand what it is that's going to be driving me, but I have framework and things that I really believe in. So when you get certain different opportunities in business, sponsorship, whatever it is, it needs to sit within the values. And the fact that I saw this opportunity in, helping sports people and sporting entities, that's something that got my attention straight away. So it ticked a lot of boxes. I was pretty inspired by the team, the other co-founders that we've got, the likes of, Mike Heron, Murray Tom, our CEO, Tim Harper, who's a creative genius, Scott McLiver from the technology side, who's a partner at PwC. Just a really good team of people around the company as well was another reason that attracted me to being a part of this.
You're still driven by success. I mean, and no matter what you end up doing, it's got to be successful the same way that on the rugby field it had to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to see the value and potential and these opportunities. And the thing that I'm finding sort of challenging is the business side. Like I'm not a CEO, I'm not a businessman. That's not my expertise, but I can help build relationships. I can, talk about legacy and excellence and team culture within organizations. They're things that I'm pretty passionate about and have a little bit of knowledge from my time playing professional sport for almost 20 years. So I'm just finding out sort of where, you fit in amongst it all.
All right, listen, good to catch up with you. Go well with it. Appreciate your time. Dan Carter with us this morning.